KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Mark Powell. He's the executive director of Capella Romana, and he's here talking about how they survived COVID and their new season, which starts in September. Thanks for doing Art Focus, Mark.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Capella Romana, how would you describe this kind of choral music?
Sure. So Capella Romana is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. So for three decades, we have focused on music of the Christian East and West. And this doesn't include things like, gospel music or more contemporary Christian music. This has to do with the music of ancient cultures from Byzantium, so the Eastern Roman Empire, and also from the West, from the Latin world. And so the name Capella Romana literally means Roman chapel. And so the idea is that we look at both the West and Old Rome, and then the East, which is New Rome, Constantinople, where Constantine the Great moved the capital of the Roman Empire there in the fourth century. And then we explore musics that are related to these traditions. So contemporary music that are inspired by, contemporary compositions that are inspired by this tradition and sort of everything in between.
Mm-hmm. So this is sort of very pure choral music, voices of maybe a dozen people, and then the acoustics of whatever building you're in. One of the first things that happened with COVID was a choir in Washington sang, and an amateur choir, and they all got COVID because they're all spraying, spit everywhere, basically, before we understood COVID. And I'm just surprised that you're still in business a year on, and you're actually going on tour to Europe. So tell us how you did it.
Sure. So in March of 2020, we were actually in residence preparing for a concert project. The youth choir, of course, had to pull out. So we were left with 14 singers, 14 professionals, some of whom had flown here from other parts of the country. And we decided to go ahead and do the concert without the public there. And so we live streamed it, and that concert reached over 100,000 people throughout the world. We have fans not just here in the Northwest, but elsewhere in the country and in Europe and, well, on every continent, basically, if you look at our email list. And of course, the rest of the season, which we had just one more project in the spring that we were planning to do, which was canceled. And one of the ways that we survived was that most of our patrons donated their tickets back to us and didn't expect refunds. There were a handful, but not that many. And then likewise, our donors just stayed with us, and many of which gave bigger gifts than they'd ever given before. They really value what we do and the beauty that we create, and they wanted to see us survive. So those are a couple of the ways that we thought, that we did, make our way through the pandemic. The other way is through one of our business lines. So I should say that Capella Romana is both a performing ensemble that has concerts that we produce ourselves and take risk on those concerts. We are also a touring ensemble, and I'll get to that in a minute, where we are, paid fees to perform in festivals and concert series around the world. And then we have a recording label, and the recording label played an ever-growing part of our business during the pandemic. And one of our recent releases is called Lost Voices of Hagia Sophia. And this recording is ancient Byzantine chant from Hagia Sophia, the great cathedral in Istanbul, which of course recently became a mosque last summer. It was converted back to a mosque. And before that, a team of scientists at Stanford were able to measure the acoustics of Hagia Sophia with great precision, so much so that they can reverse engineer that acoustical environment using microphones and speakers with a special convolution reverb pattern. And so we perform this ancient music from Hagia Sophia in its actual acoustic. And the acoustic of Hagia Sophia is almost 11 seconds. So that means that the first few seconds of the sound as it's hanging in the air, it's almost full volume for about 2 or 3 seconds. So that means as the chant goes along, which is just a melody usually, it's a melody, that melody can form chords, can form sonorities with overlaying notes. And it creates this absolutely magical effect. And it was actually accounted for in the 10th century when the Slavs visited Hagia Sophia, when Prince Vladimir was out shopping for a religion, basically. And he didn't like the way the Catholics worshipped. He didn't like the Muslims at that time. But he came upon Constantinople. He sent his entourage. And the account goes, we knew not whether we were in heaven or on earth. And now when we hear the way this music sounds in that space, it starts to explain that kind of reaction. So we made a recording of this music, which is a full surround recording, so you can listen everything as fancy as a Dolby Atmos system to, you know, obviously a regular stereo. And it was profiled on NPR just before the lockdown. And we sold thousands and thousands of copies of this recording. And later on in the summer, the New York Times picked up the story, and that was another boost. We've been able to use some of those funds then to make new recordings. So we also published in the last year a disc called Hymns of Cassiani, or Cassia. And she is the oldest female composer from whom we have music. So there are older ones. We know that Sappho, for example, in ancient Greece, wrote poetry and music, but we don't have any of her music. It's not written down. We might have the words, but not the melodies. Whereas for Cassia, she left us the melodies through very recent manuscript, meaning recent to her life. There's manuscript evidence of her hymnography that musicologists believe is pretty close to what was original. So we're able to sing music basically from the 9th century, and this oldest music is by a woman. And she's got a great backstory too, which I won't necessarily go into now, but she's great.
Going back to Hagia Sophia, which came first, the shape of the building or the music?
So there was an Hagia Sophia on the site of the 6th century basilica, but we don't really know much about the music that was done. We have some fragments of hints of what the liturgical music was like in that old basilica. But then the modern one, meaning 6th century, that Justinian built, it's pretty clear that it was designed to give this sense of splendor. Of course, for 1,000 years, it was the largest enclosed space in the world. It wasn't surpassed until, I think, the Seville Cathedral in Spain. But even that building, being Gothic, it's narrower. It has the same volume, but not the same, you know, open space like the open dome style of Hagia Sophia. But it's pretty clear that from the manuscript evidence of the chants, that these chants were written in order to work in that building. So oftentimes text is elongated so that its intelligibility is increased. You would think that sometimes if text is elongated, say in Handel's Messiah, where you sing, and he shall glorify, and so on, it goes on and on and on and on. Well, in this case, it's elongated so that the building has a chance to catch up with the text. And you'll certainly hear that on the final track of this disc, which is an excerpt of the Cherubic Hymn. This is a standard text that's used even in the more modern Orthodox Church today, but usually in much shorter versions. But at the very end of this hymn, which you'll hear in a moment, you'll hear this elongation of the text and repetition of the text to kind of create this effect. And you'll also hear the way that the chants overlay and create those chords that hang in the air. And it's really magical.
Let's give it a listen.
What you just heard was the conclusion of the Asmaticon Cherubic Hymn. This is the last track on Cappella Romana's recording, Lost Voices of Hagia Sophia.
So you, as an artistic group, actually benefited from lockdown?
Well, in a strange sort of way, I think we did. There were some real drawbacks, obviously. I mean, we weren't able to hire artists on a regular basis. And so we had to focus our efforts on other things that didn't require live performance. So as an institution, we survived. But it was very hard on our artists. And most of our artists, you know, pieced together their careers with, you know, different engagements, and we're one of them. Someone might teach privately, someone might be, you know, in a professional life, but they augment their income through singing. Again, we're a fully professional group, so, you know, it just depends on the... There are as many stories as there are singers about that. The other thing that I think is important to say is, during the pandemic, this last year, meaning this last spring, we provided a number of educational videos that were panel discussions that tried to deepen people's knowledge and experience of this music, and they were very popular and really engaging, particularly the one about women and sacred chant, which of course focused on the hymns of Cassiani, as well as traditions in the Latin West. So we tried to address both the fact that we couldn't get together and that we could actually still talk about this music and give examples of it for people to deepen their experience.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Mark Powell. He's the executive director of Cappella Romana, and he's here talking about how they survived COVID and their new season, which starts in September. So the whole choir is off to Europe. Isn't that a bit of a difficult thing right now? It's the end of August. Everyone's getting scared of COVID again.
Yes. So we were invited. It's about 15 people, so it's not a giant choir. We were invited to give Lost Voices of Hagia Sophia with the synthesized acoustic at the Utrecht Early Music Festival in the Netherlands. And this is the largest early music festival in the world. So in the Netherlands, they've been a little bit ahead of the Americans as far as insisting on audience members and artists to be vaccinated. So the festival, when they launched their ticket sales and so on, they were extremely clear that, you know, in order to attend or to perform, everyone had to be vaccinated. And these concerts are without an intermission, and so the time inside the room is limited, and we feel fairly safe.
Do the artists have to sing in masks?
So in the Netherlands, we will not be required to sing with masks, but the distance from us to the public is fairly big. So this is a large concert hall, so the first row of audience members is quite far away from the singers, so we're not going to be right on top of them like we might be in a smaller church venue or something.
What about the distance between the singers?
So all of our singers are vaccinated, and when we are there, we will have an additional COVID test to make sure that everyone still is COVID-free, and we will sing normally. We actually did a project last November. We recorded some Christmas music from both Greece and Russia, and also some American composers, where this was before vaccinations, we asked all the singers to be tested for COVID, and then 5 days later, again tested, and they were asked to quarantine during that period, as well as their families. So we actually doubled their artistic fees because we asked them to basically do nothing in advance of a 2-day recording project. So it was, nobody got sick. We were, you know, everyone isolated, so that it was basically, that was our bubble, and we did the project, and it was just beautiful. And of course, at the first rehearsal, you know, the singers were starting to weep because they were so moved, you know, to be able to sing again with their colleagues. And that was really a great project.
In the pandemic, CD sales or recording sales were good for you, right? You did well?
Yes, both the physical recordings, the discs themselves, these last two releases, and actually everything that we plan to do from now on, will be recorded in surround sound. So actually being able to, if you buy the disc, you have the opportunity to listen in full surround. We also, of course, are available, all of our recordings are available through the streaming services as well, you know, everything from, you know, Apple Music to YouTube to everything. But the discs have sold very, very well. And likewise, the downloads, people have downloaded it and streamed it.
The disc Hymns of Cassiani, what would be a nice track to listen to from that?
Sure. Cassiani today is known in the Greek Orthodox Church for basically one of her hymns. It's the most famous, and in fact, it's just called the Hymn of Cassiani. Everyone knows what that is, and it's sung during Holy Week on Tuesday night, usually. And that track features both the men and the women of Cappella Romana, and it has a very passionate text of it's basically recounting the story of the woman who anointed Jesus before his crucifixion with her hair. And it's incredibly picturesque in the way that the text describes the scene. Mm-hmm. And that comes through in the music as well. The Hymn of Cassiani.
Let's hear a little bit of the Hymn of Cassiani.
What you just heard is the Hymn of Cassiani, her most famous hymn that is sung in Holy Week and usually sung on Tuesday night or on Wednesday morning in Orthodox Holy Week before Easter.
As an arts group, so you survived on donations and, you know, people buying the CDs. How is this going to change from going forward? You know, what are you going to take away from this and keep doing?
Sure. I should also mention, like many arts groups, we did benefit from federal funds from the CARES Act and from the American Rescue Act. Those funds helped us keep the office open and keep our staff hired. And moving forward, Cappella Romana just passed its largest budget ever, just shy of $1 million a year. And that budget includes a wide variety of income sources. So it's the recordings, it's live concerts and tickets, it's donations, it's fees that we are paid by external organizations to tour. Our upcoming tour to Europe takes us to two different countries, both first to Ireland and then to the Netherlands, where we're performing at the Utrecht Early Music Festival. And to take 15 people, including our technician from Stanford to create the acoustic and our recording producer, that project's about $75,000, including everything. Travel, artist fees, housing, meals, everything, local transportation, all of it. And the first part of the tour, we'll actually record two projects in Ireland. One is a film of medieval Byzantine chant for a festival in Romania, because we can't travel to Romania. And we'll create the film and they will broadcast that film at the festival. And then the second part is a recording of funeral music, actually. One part of it is by Sir John Taverner, the famous English composer. And the second half is funeral music that was written for Sir John's funeral by one of our members. So we have two sides of the tradition of the Orthodox funeral service. And we're recording that and then coming back in later September to open our series. And we've named that a COVID Requiem. We're going to ask the members of the public to give us names of people who have died from COVID and give us a chance as a community to mourn their loss and also to properly grieve around, you know, the last 18 months. Because for us to rise from the ashes, I think it's really healthy to have music and art to help us through.
That is Saturday, the 25th of September at 8 o'clock, and then following the next day at 3 o'clock at St. Mary's Cathedral. Oh, and at the Madeleine Parish in North Portland. What are you just gonna sing names that you pull off the internet?
We're going to ask our community globally to give us the names of people they know who've died of COVID. Yeah, so it's not a generic thing at all. It's very much a way to create some community around this.
Mm-hmm. How long would it take to rehearse that?
Oh, we won't read them all. We'll just list them and have them available at the concert. So it's not we're not taking time to mm-hmm. read out all the names. This will just be more discreet and just more subtle.
So you do have a whole season, and it's COVID willing. It's September through June. Just give us a few of the highlights.
Sure. So of the projects we're doing, one of them is completely new and based on new research by our music director, Alexander Lingus. We're very interested in producing programs of early music, of ancient music, that no one has ever heard before. And this is music around the visit of the Byzantine emperor to King Henry IV in London in 1400. So in 1400, there was Byzantine chant sung at Eltham Palace in London. It's a small one nowadays, but in Henry IV's time, it was his main residence, yes. And likewise, another highlight would be Arvo Pärt's largest a cappella work. This is called the Canon Pokajanen, the Canon of Repentance. It's about a 70-minute work for a cappella chorus, and it's just stunningly beautiful. I mean, if you, of all our choral things in the year, if you had to choose one, that would certainly be the one, and that's in February. And then we'll close out the season with a mix of old and new. We have ancient music from Byzantium, and then Greek-American composers who set these melodies for mixed choir. And it's a really interesting juxtaposition and very beautiful music at that, very moving.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Mark Powell. He's the executive director of Cappella Romana. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus about music, Mark.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Joseph.
Andy Warhol loves to scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Comunitaria a través del 90.7 FM KBOO Portland y en línea a través de KBOO.FM.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 24 de agosto del 2021. La Organización Mundial de la Salud está pidiendo a los países ricos que impongan una moratoria de 2 meses a las inyecciones de refuerzo del COVID-19 hasta que las naciones más pobres puedan vacunar a sus residentes más vulnerables. El director general de la OMS, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, dijo el lunes que la equidad mundial en las vacunas no solo es injusta, sino que podría